moment. So let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the opportunity to share the word of God with your people. God, we ask that you would touch them and bless them and encourage them. Give me strength. Give me clarity. God, give them listening ears and allow it to touch them in ways that they never expected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with your Bibles in your hands, repeating after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. And we communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise. All right. So grateful. Before we preach the word of God, there's some special people in the building. Everybody's special, but there's some special, special people in the building. So I want to say thank you to all of them, all of our visitors. We appreciate you. So we're going to go, we started a new series last week, so we are going to piggyback off of that. We're going to stay in this. We'll probably be in this almost to the end of October. It's called the People Series. And so the first sermon was called People of Purpose. And just a quick recap, we were talking about the power of purpose, and then we talked about discovering purpose, dedicating to purpose, demonstrating your purpose, and defending your purpose. And you can pick that sermon back up on YouTube replay, as well as Facebook or our podcast. So today, we're going to transition into people of power. So once you know your purpose and are functioning in your purpose, it leads you to be people of power. One of the worst things that can happen to people throughout their life is to take on a victim mentality where they feel powerless. But once you begin to walk in your purpose, you are now walking also in power. So we're going to be talking about power. Let's look at a definition of power. Defined is the ability to do something or act in a particular way, especially as a faculty or a quality, or to be empowered, to be enabled. Once you learned how to walk, you had the ability to walk, the power. Before, you had to be carried, you crawled, you stumbled, but once you had the faculty to walk, nothing could stop you from walking unless there is a disease, a sickness, or loss of a limb. Once you had the power, you are able to easily walk in it. And what's interesting, certain powers, they become so second nature to you, you don't think about it. When you get up out of the bed, you don't think about walking unless you have a health challenge that makes you think about it. But many of us, we just get up and walk because once you've been empowered, it becomes a part of your nature. So once you become people of power, there are certain things that come to your faculty that just becomes normal, but you got to learn how to flow in it, walk in it. So I'm going to back up from there. I'm going to talk about three types of power. I'm going to talk about this as it relates to just the type of individuals you will run into that operate in power. And thinking of this, I want to think like your bosses, your leaders, your authority. I'm not going to stay in that. I'm going to turn it to something else. But I want to start here because I want us to understand how power should best be wielded. So let's look at this is something that are easy for you to remember once you catch it. So there's power with, there's power over, and then there's power for. So we're going to be working through these three ideas for the rest of the sermon. Power with, power over, and power for. So I'm going to start with power with. This is what we should be doing with our power as human beings. We do life with other people, so we should be using our power to benefit the people around us, whether it's our family, our friends, our church, our co-workers. We are using our power to bless and help other people. But unfortunately, there are some people that use their power for power over. This is where you get domination. This is where we get the, unfortunately, political people who move into dictatorship. They don't use their power to help. They use their power to stop, to oppress. And so whenever you move in power, it is up to you to use your power responsibly. So we want you to be power with instead of power over. Now, there are certain times in your life there you do have power over, but it should be to get people to power with. I'll give you an example. When you're a parent, you have power over your children, but you're trying to mature them to the point where there becomes a power with. For example, when you take a business owner who has children, at some point, and the child's 2 months old, there is power over. But that business owner normally is thinking, how can I raise my child up so they grow to the place that they can take over the business, so it becomes a power with? In other words, I'm not trying to keep them subservient to me for the rest of their life. I'm trying to grow them up, elevate them, so it can be a with. And so now let me throw this out there, and we're not going to stay here long, but when we look at our political climate, the people that we put in office, we have to ask ourselves before we vote for them another time, do they use their power to empower, or do they use their power to dominate? Do they use their power to squash, or do they use their power to help? Outside of the political arena, in your church, does your pastor use his power to beat people down, or does he use his power to raise people up? On your job, and that'll help you understand how people are functioning in power, and it also will help you know how you should function in power. Because one of the greatest lessons that will teach you about leadership is watching poor leadership. Poor leadership will teach you what good leadership should look like. Poor parenting will teach you what good parenting should look like. So as you watch other people, you should take it and apply it to your own life. And then there is power for. So we have power with, power over, power for. We don't want power over. We would rather have power with. But power for is important. So we have to be careful with power for, because unfortunately, when you have a power for mindset, you will do everything for people who can do things for themselves. Let's go back to the example with the business owner who has a young child. Sometimes the fault of the wealthy parent is they do everything for the child, and then the child never really matures to have any power of their own because everything is done for them. There's only one human being in history who's able to really function in the power for, and that was Christ, who died for humanity. He used his power for the rest of us. But you who are trying to do power with people, you can't do everything for people. Oh, let me pause and say it. I know you're Christian, I know you're saved, I know you're sweet and you're kind, but you can't pay everybody's bills all the time. Sometimes, well, daddy, my rent's due, but you knew last month your rent was going to be due. When you went out and partied and you went to vacation and you went on the cruise, you knew your rent was going to due. So if I keep doing everything for you, you will never be empowered to know what needs to be done. Going back to the political system, yes, we want to hold people accountable, but we shouldn't expect the government to do everything for us. You should want to grow to the place that I don't always have to be on government assistance. I may need their assistance momentarily, but I'm trying to mature, and I'm trying to put my wealth in such a way that I don't always need them forever. I don't want to be in a position where everything is always done for me. I want to grow, and I want to develop. So just remember those things: power with, power over, power for. Now we're going to tie it into scripture as we move forward, but we're going to use those same three things: with, over, and for. All right, so look at this, the three power dynamics from scripture. So taking those same three power dynamics and putting it into scriptural form. So number one is going to be power with. We're going to look at Acts 1, 6, 7, and 8. But what we're going to do, we're not going to read 6 and 7 at all. We're going to pick it up later. I just wanted to put it up there because I'm going to come back to it. So just flash up verse 6, flash up verse 7. Just remember that. We're going to come back to it and read it. Now let's go to verse 8. Mother Mitchell, would you read that?
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit...
Hold on, you're going to receive what?
Power.
Okay.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Uh-huh.
And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
So one of the first things we see after Jesus has rose from the grave, and as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, he talks to his disciples and says, but you shall receive power. But we have to ask ourselves, what was the power for? What did they get power for? And the scripture says the power was to be witnesses. In other words, the power was not for them, but the power was for a with mentality. In other words, I'm going to empower you so you can do life with other people. Unfortunately, we have Christians that receive power from God and they think that power is used to put other people down. Well, you don't do it like I do. That's not how and why you got the power. You get the power to actually help and to actually assist. All right, here's an example. Let's say you are the only person in your sphere of influence to get a vehicle. All of y'all have been walking for the last 2-3 years. And supernaturally, you get a 15-passenger van. And just by chance, you happen to have 14 other friends. So it's 15 of y'all that's been walking. You get a 15-passenger van, and what you do is you drive past them and wave and say, hey, I love y'all. God bless me. See you later. No, the reason why you got the 15-passenger van was to help the people you are with. You are empowered to be a witness, to say, hey, look what God did for me to help us. But some people get the power and they think it's only about themselves. So you have to remember, power comes to be with. Whatever it is, whether it's power to graduate college, you use that degree to help other people. Unfortunately, in the black community, we have a growing and going up that sometimes leaves other people behind. You always want to have a power with mentality. So the scripture here says it is to witness. And so let's put that first point up from the power with. It is a what? It's a power to witness. In other words, the power that God gives you ought to be a witness to the other people around you that God is real based on the power that he's done in your life. In other words, when God begins to bless you, stop taking credit, all of it, for yourself and start saying, hey, it was God that did it. And the same God that did it for me, he'll do it for you. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to share with my blessing with you so you know this wasn't me, this was God. But unfortunately, we don't use our power to witness. We use our power to say, look how much better I am than Trish. Well, a few months ago, both of y'all was walking. Now, all of a sudden, you're no longer walking and you're better than her. No, you use the power to say, if God bless me, he's going to bless her. Let me use it as a witness. Now, this is what's interesting. What it said, we're going to go back to verse 8. I want you to read it one more time, Mother Mitchell. Going to 8. We're going to go to 8. We're not going to do 6, 7 at all. All right.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
It's actually going to come on you, yes.
And you will be my witnesses.
All right.
Telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem.
Jerusalem 1.
Throughout Judea.
Judea 2.
In Samaria.
Samaria 3.
And to the ends of the earth.
To the ends of the earth 4. So if you know anything about history, Jerusalem is where they currently was living. Judea was the surrounding area. Samaria was a country above, and then the rest of the earth. In other words, what it says, when you first become a witness, you witness to the folk around you. And then you go to the uttermost part of the earth. You have Christians who say, I'm going to do a mission trip in Africa, but you racist right here in America. You need to save your plane trip and save your missions money, because if you can't love the people right here, why are you going over there? Another thing, as it relates to us as people, if you can't treat your family right, how is it you going to come and talk about, oh, I love the church folk? No, if I don't treat Devin right, how can I act like I'm treating y'all right? So there's a progression. You start locally and then you expand out. And so he said, your power is going to make you be a witness right where you are. You know, I hate to say it this way, but there's some church folk who come to church every Sunday that the folk on their job don't know they're a Christian, because they have a church face and then they have a work face. And when folk find out they go to church, they be shocked, like, what? Because they're putting on a phoniness. But the real power causes you to be a witness in every aspect of your life. All right, so let's go from the witness now to number two. So now we're going to go to the power over. So we talked about how we don't want to have power over people, but there is a power that you should have over a lot of things. Hopefully, let's just throw some things out there. Since we are Deliverance Temple, if you've had addiction in your life, hopefully as you grow in God, you have power over the addiction. You don't want to have power over people, but you want to have power over bad habits, addictions, whatever. I'm going to give us something that we should have power over. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Mother Mitchell, read that.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
We are not ignorant of his devices. We're going to read it in another version, and I believe I have it in the New Living. No, the Christian Standard. Read it in the Christian Standard.
So that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes.
All right, let's just go ahead and make it real simple. Put it up there. We need to have power over ignorance. Now, I'm not talking to unsaved people. I'm talking to people who say they're Christians, but they're functioning in ignorance. The scripture says we're not ignorant of his devices. So let's just go back to what I just talked about. You guys were clapping. I said, it makes no sense for me to act like I'm loving the folk at church and I'm not loving the people right around me. That seems like common sense. But common sense is not so common anymore. You have Christians who think they're Christians based on something they read, but Christianity, true Christianity, is not what you read, it's how you live. It's how you act, it's what you do. And unfortunately, we have a lot of ignorant Christians who shouldn't be ignorant, because we have power over ignorance, but unfortunately, we've allowed ignorance to come. And here's what the scripture says. We're not ignorant of his devices, meaning Satan's devices. So what that also means is the thing that Satan wants you to do is to turn a blind eye to what he's doing. But what God is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want to show you this is the devil. Have you ever had a devil moment? You're not a devil. You're not a demon, but you had a devil moment. And after you get out your devil moment, you realize, oh man, that was ignorant. That was bad. I'll give you one of my devil moments. So I had somebody roll up on me in the car behind me, and they wanted me to get out of the way. The speed limit was 70. I was going 75 in the fast lane, and most people want you to drive at least 80. So I was getting ready to move over because I seen him coming up. But the way he flashed his lights on me, I was like, okay, you want to play? So I got over to the right lane. And when he got ready to get next to me, because I have an electric car, I got a lot of horsepower. So as soon as he got next to me, I went to 90 real fast. Boom. Then I slowed down. And when he got close to me, I went up to 100. But later, what I thought about was, if the cop would pull me over, I couldn't say, oh, so-and-so was getting on my nerves, so I was trying to Basically what I had an ignorant moment. Because if I would have lost control, or if I would have hurt myself, if I would have got a ticket, all I did, I was allowing my pride, my ego, because he flashed his lights on me. I want to show him something. So I had a moment. But here's the thing. We all have ignorant moments. We all, because we're human. We all do human things. But here's the problem is when you begin to live in it. When you begin to stay in it on a consistent basis, not have a devilish moment, but then to begin to have devilish ways all the time and then be ignorant about it. Because the root word of ignorant is to ignore. So when people bring it to your attention that you're functioning as a devil, not one time, not momentarily, but all the time, and then you ignore it. All right, let's talk about some Christians who save. They powerful, but they're stubborn. They got diagnosed with diabetes. And then at the church picnic, they got 5 desserts piled up. And you tell them, hey, sweetheart, you should probably not eat that many desserts. But what they do, they ignore you because I'm grown. But what happens when you keep ignoring instructions, what it does, it makes you ignorant. And we've got to start using our power over ignorance and realize that sometimes, because I'm human, I get caught into ignorant ways that I don't have to, because the scripture says I'm not ignorant of his devices. At the end of the day, this is the devil trying to get at me. Now, let me go back to the story I just told you about me on the road. That was about 4 months ago. I ain't talking about in 2023. I'm talking about that happened in 2025. But about 2 or 3 weeks ago, it happened to me again. Somebody pulled up behind me and did all that. And this time, I just got over and moved out the way. And I was like, I'm not even going to. But guess what? As the person rolled by me, it bothered me to let it go. I wanted to act ugly again. But here's the thing. I'm learning from my ignorance. I have power over ignorance. Because here's another thing, and I've shared it before. Here's another thing. When I drive, I carry a gun in my car. What happens when I snap and go beyond just racing? I have to have power over ignorance so I don't do ignorant things. So even though you're Christian, you can still do ignorant things if you're not careful. So sometimes you got to learn the lesson, and you have to take authority over the ignorance. All right? Now, we're going to go back to the scriptures that I left out before. I'm going to go back to Acts 1, 6, and 7, because I'm about to turn a corner to something that happened recently, very, very recently. Read.
So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?
So we talked about verse 8 where he talks about having power, but before verse 8, there was a conversation. And the conversation the disciples had is, when are you going to do what needs to be done? When is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? In other words, talking about the end times. When is this going to happen? Look at what the response and the reply was. Verse 7.
He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know.
So basically, before he told them about the power, he made a pointed statement that all of us should understand, that there are some things about the future that's none of your business. And so when you think you can predict the future after God has said some of that stuff is none of your business, that unfortunately you're starting to get close to ignorance. Read some more, and then we'll talk about what happened recently. Mark 13, 31.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
Verse 32.
But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father.
Jesus made a pointed statement about the ending of the age. And actually, it was more than just the ending of the age, but I don't have time to get into it. But he basically said, nobody knows the day, nor the hour, not even myself, not even Jesus, can I tell you. So some stuff we're just going to have to trust and let go. And then he says this in that final verse, and then we'll talk about it. Go ahead, put it up.
Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is.
Here's the thing that God is saying to us through Jesus. Because you're human, if you knew everything up front, it would change how you function. If you knew you're going to hit the $2 million lottery, if you knew you was going to hit it on October the 3rd, 2025, you would function entirely different. Remember how I just talking about paying bills? I ain't paying nothing for the rest of September because I know what's getting ready to happen in October. It changes how you live. And guess what? You won't need to live by faith if you can see everything. The scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. So God says there's some stuff you're not supposed to know because without faith it's impossible to please me. And I want you to please me, so you're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to trust in a God that you can't see. And if you know everything, it's going to cause you to not have the type of relationship I need to have with you. So there are some things I'm going to reserve and hold back, and I'm not going to tell you everything. Let's go to just a natural example with parents and children. Because children are young and immature, you don't tell them everything. They start talking to yourself about Christmas. I want this and I want that. And you already know, you done already bought it. Got it hid in the garage. But you don't want them to know because it will strip the excitement on December 25th. And so you hold some things back because it would mess them up if you showed and told them everything because they're not ready for it. So God is the same way with his children. There's some stuff I'm going to hold back. So what are you saying, Pastor Andre? I'm saying it is ignorant for Christians to think they know. So just this past week, unfortunately, it started with a pastor out of South Africa, and then it caught some steam. And literally thousands of people were believing they were going to be raptured on either the 23rd of September or the 25th, and based on time zone, maybe the 25th. They were instructed to give away and sell stuff that they don't need because they're getting ready to be raptured up. Now, these are Christians who love God, but they're ignorant. How can you say that? Because they ignored the scripture I just told you. It says, no man knows the hour. They don't know. God doesn't want you to know. He wants you to live by faith. So when a person comes around saying, I know God came to me, and the man said he had a dream that God came to him and told him when the day was going to happen. And here's unfortunate about humans. We have something called confirmation bias. And what confirmation bias is, once you begin to believe something, you'll start seeing everything that lines up to what you already believe. It will confirm. So people begin to have confirming things. And today is the 28th. And didn't nobody get up and fly out the sky? Even though they had all these confirmations, it was ignorant because they missed simple things. So what I need you to understand is when information is available, and go ahead and put this up. Whenever information is available, I need you to understand ignorance is a choice. Because the answer is right there. Now, I know y'all love me and y'all appreciate me and y'all glad I'm your pastor. But if I get up and start telling you things that is opposed to what you see in the word of God, no matter if you love me or not, you're going to have to say, Pastor, you're wrong here. So there are a lot of people that believed this pastor, and it started in South Africa and some other places, and it spread. There was a number believing, at least 11,000 people were believing this. So the first time I heard about it, me and Lady Devin heard about it from Sister Anitra, that someone told her that we need to be preparing. So being a member of the church, she asked what I thought about it. And I just told her plainly, I don't think the rapture is going to happen in September. But it doesn't hurt for you to be prepared. So I just thought it was one person. I didn't know literally thousands of people were believing that. And guess what happens? Guess what they look like to the world? They look ignorant. They serving God and they look ignorant. And unfortunately, it's a lot of Christians that do ignorant things because they don't pay attention to the information that God has already laid out in front of us. Some of the stuff you believe is not even biblical. Some of the stuff that you think you know, all you have to do is just read it a few more times and you will find out this ain't true. And let me throw this out there, and I got to get off of it because I don't have time to talk about it. But if you really, really read, you might stop believing in the rapture altogether. If you really, really read, but unfortunately, we listen to what somebody told us instead of doing it for ourselves. And this is why I always tell y'all, don't take my word for it. Do your own study so that you can grow, because there's no reason for us to be ignorant when the information is right there available. Now, let me back up and go beyond just the Bible. It is not just the Bible, but it's in so many ways. So many ways. And actually, I mentioned special people, but I'll call them out by name. My cousin Maurice is here. And him and I have talked about last year about him actually coming and doing some wealth teaching here with our people. We're still going to do it because he's been able to do some simple things that he wasn't taught as a child because we didn't know. But now there's too much information out there. And so we want to give our people information so they can make good choices as it relates to wealth. But what Christians think is all you do is you throw money in the offering and voila, everything's going to be okay. But if you ignore simple information, guess what's going to happen? You're going to do ignorant things and you're still going to be saved, but you're not going to have the power that you need to have. All right, Pastor Andre, can you just give me a simple thing? Yeah. I'm going to give you something simple. If you spend more than you make, you're not going to have a lot. That's just simple math, simple economics. You can't pray that away. You can't pray bad habits away when there's information available. If you don't avail yourself to the information, then you have to say you are choosing ignorance by choice. So what do we want to do? We want to have power over a lot of things, but for us, we want to have power over ignorance. And there's so many things that are actually right here. If we would study it, we would see so many answers are right there. All right, so let's keep going. So we did the power with, the power over. Let's move on to this one, number three. Here's power for. I'm actually going to tie what I just talked about. Power for what? Put it up there. Power for needs. So sometimes the reason why God causes you to be availed to the information so that he can handle your needs, all right? Now, let me say it this way. It would be nice if God was a counterfeiter. What do you mean being a counterfeiter? If he would just drop money out the sky. It would be just drop it out the sky. But God's not a counterfeiter. He has a system that's already in place. And when people operate in the system, it will cause them. And we're not saying that you're going to be just super, super wealthy. We're not saying everybody's going to be a millionaire. Some people preach that everybody's going to be a millionaire. That's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about is having your needs met. Having your simple, basic needs met. God doesn't mind doing that. So there is power for your needs. And sometimes what you have to do is take power over the ignorance so that you can walk in your needs. And so put this up here, Philippians 4:19.
And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Here's something you don't need to ignore, that God is invested in your needs. Now, in this, if you look at the context of this verse, it is actually talking about financial needs, but it goes beyond our financial needs. All of your needs will be supplied if you are walking with God. This is a promise from the Lord. But my God shall supply your needs. And here's one of the reasons why I tell you, don't just take what I say, is because I don't have the ability to supply your needs. I'm limited. I'm a human. I can do what I can, but I need you looking to God, because God has promised that he will get in your life to supply your needs. So once you start working walking in purpose, then you'll begin to start working with power, because the purpose that God has for you aligns with the purpose he says, and he will step in and he will begin to make a difference. So he has power for your needs. So what is it that I need? I'm lonely. Well, God has power for that. Well, I'm lost. God has power for that. I'm broke. God has power for that. I'm sick. God has power for that. I'm confused. God has power for that. One of the reasons that we need you to walk in purpose is so that you can walk in the path of God and God can supply your needs. Go ahead and put this up there in the back. So power supply. One of the things that we don't recognize, because it's so easy for us to do it, it's so easy. Right here back behind me are these outlets. I got some outlets on the floor. And when you see an outlet, you just plug into the outlet. But the outlet is not really the source of power. There is a power supply that goes back to a transformer. And if the transformer messes up, no matter what you plug in, it will not work. Those of us who've been in Muncie, Indiana, and we've had storms and the power goes out in the neighborhood, that means it went all the way back to the power supply. And once the power supply got cut off, there's nothing you could do in your house other than flip on some candles and wait till the power supply comes back on. The point that I'm trying to make to you is the power supply is God. And God has never lost any power. The scripture says he has all power in his hand. So if you're connected to the power supply, then you have to not stop being ignorant and realize God will supply my need. If God would bless them, he will bless me. If God will heal them, he will heal me. Because I know the source of the power. I know the person who holds all the power. And he knows me by name. And here's another reason why I want to stop operating in my devilish moments. Because the devil doesn't have power for me. The power he has for me is the power to destroy me. But the power God has for me is the power to take me higher and higher, from faith to faith and from glory to glory. I'm blessed when I come. I'm blessed when I go. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And that comes from the power supply, who is the power supply earth. Every now and then, you just got to stop and look up. And you look and you see when the sun is setting and the regular blue sky has turned into orange and purple and pink. And you have to realize the one who paints the canvas of the sky every day, he's the one that lives on the inside of me. Every now and then you got to go to the ocean and watch how the waves go out and how they come back in, and realize the one who controls the ocean, he knows me by name. Every now and then on a starry night, you got to look up and see the stars in the sky and realize that God that put the star in the sky, the moon in the sky, he knows being by name. So if he will take care of the sky and he'll take care of the ocean and he'll take care of the land, I know he'll take care of me. I'm not as big as the ocean. So if he can take care of the ocean, he can take care of me and my household. I know the power supply and I know the power supplier. And that's why I praise him the way I do, because I'm hooked up with the real power. And because he's God, he uses his power for me and he uses his power for you. All right, so here we go. We're going to take it to a conclusion. Here's the conclusion. Let's just recap. So the power with equals witness. Remember, you have power for other people and it's your witness. Then the power over, there's a lot of things we can have power over, but I chose to talk about ignorance because I really wanted to bring in this whole rapture thing that just happened. And then we talk about the power for the need. So let's put it together again for just a quick recap. We have witness, ignorance, needs. Witness, ignorance, needs. Witness, ignorance, needs. And you know I like to make acronyms, so that really says you have the power to win. That's all I'm trying to tell you. I don't care how many losses you have on your plate. I don't care how many times you failed in the past. I'm here to let you know you are people of power and you have the power to to win. I do know it's the fourth quarter and you're already down. I do know it looks bad. I do know it may look rough. I do know your marriage may look rough, but I'm here to let you know, because you know the power supplier, you have power to win. You're not going to lose. You're not going to fail. You're not going to fold. You're not going to throw in the towel, because you are a winner. You're not a loser, because the winning one is on your side. You're on the winning side. You've got the winning team. You've got the winning coach. You've got the winning quarterback. You've got the winning port guard. And it's G-O-D. It's J-E-S-U-S. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Son of God. It's Jehovah Jireh. You're going to win in this season. You're not going to fail. You're not going to drown. You're not going to lose. You're not going to be lost. Your family won't fold. You won't die and lose your mind. You're going to win. You got power to win. Somebody say, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Now, I would love to just close like that, and we're getting ready to close, but I wanted you to see it in the Bible. I want you to see it in the Bible for yourself. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says what? Would you throw it up there?
Now, thanks be unto God, which always...
Hold on. It says which what?
Always.
Which what?
Always.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Causes us to triumph in Christ.
It says no matter what you're facing, you always end up winning in the end. I may not be winning right now, but I'm going to be winning in the end. One of the things that happened in this last NBA season with the Pacers, who came as what they call a dark horse and made it all the way to the finals, what happened is they had a historic run where oftentimes they were down by double digits in the fourth quarter, and somehow they still ended up winning. One time specifically, they were down by like 14 points with less than 2 minutes to go. And normally when you're down like that, you're supposed to lose, but somehow the team would catch fire. I'm here to let you know, it looks like you're down. It looks like you're counted out, but you got the power to win. Stuff that wasn't falling is about to fall. Stuff that wasn't working is about to work. Folk that used to lie on you gonna start celebrating you, because you got the power to win. Your marriage is about to turn around. Your children is about to turn around. Your money is about to turn around. Your mind is about to turn around, because you are people of power, and the power is to win. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. All right, read the verse in its entirety.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place.
In every place. And so one of the things of save and savior, now this is Paul writing, so it means he wrote it in the Greek. And in the Greek, the word we use for salvation or save or savior is the word sozo or soteria. And it does not just mean born again. When we talk as Christians and say, are you saved? We are thinking born again. But in the Greek, when you look at the Greek, it actually means healing, preservation, safety, soundness, restoration. So when God said, it also means deliverance. So when God says he's going to save, he's talking about prospering you. He's talking about healing you. He's talking about restoring you. He's talking about doing all kinds of things. It's not just, oh, I'm going to heaven. Stop talking about you're going to heaven, because some blessings you don't need in heaven. You need them right now. I want the kingdom of God to come to earth. I need some salvation right here, right now. I need some sozo, some soteria right now. In other words, what I'm saying, I don't want to wait till I die to win. I need to win right now. And so I'm looking to win right now. I'm looking for some stuff to work right now. And because we are mature Christians, everything don't have to go our way all the time. But I need some stuff to go my way sometimes. In other words, I'm not going to be crying forever. I'm not going to be sick forever. I'm not going to be broke forever. I'm looking for some stuff to turn in my favor so I can be a witness and say, look what God has done. Just the other day, while I was in, I'm coming back from Kokomo, I was in a conference, and I had a man that I know, and he said, you got one of them electric cars, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And he asked me something about it, and I was like, here, let me just show you around. He's like, man, oh, this is awesome. He's talking about it. And as he was talking about it, I'm like, God did it. I didn't think I could afford it. And God caused all kinds of things to happen and discounts to happen. And the next thing you know, I've been driving the thing. I just hit 44,000 miles on it. I've been rolling in that thing. And I'm looking, I really didn't have nothing to do with it. Just when God get ready to open a door, can't nothing stop what God is opening. And I'm trying to tell you, it's not about houses and cars. It's just about you winning in the end. And whatever makes you feel like a winner, God don't mind doing it if you're people of his power. Yes. Last verse.
But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, what do you do to earn a gift? Nothing. A gift is a gift. And the Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. I'm about to win because God said it's my time to win. You can't stop my winning season because God has gifted me a win and God has gifted you a win. So you might as well celebrate. You might as well praise. And here's one thing I've learned. When people are on the bench or on the field and it looks like they're going to win, they start acting like they win even before the clock hits zero. You ever seen them run behind the coach with Gatorade in their hand? Because they already know it's a foregone conclusion. We about to end. If you see me with a big bucket of Gatorade, I'm just letting you know I already know we about to win. I already know it's about to be a blessing. I already know victory is mine. When we was young, we say victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, because victory today is mine. You're looking at a winner. I'm looking at winners because you have power to win. You have power to gain the victory. Yes. And if those people who was crying because they didn't get raptured, if they would know this, they would realize you ain't got to get out of here to win. I can win right here. That shows me how powerful God is, because he's a light in a dark land. The Bible said he's the lily in the valley. The valley is the low place. He's the bright and he's the morning star. And then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley that shadow with death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. In bad times, I can still win. In hard times, I can still win. In grieving times, I can still win, because victory belongs to me. Victory has my name on it. And it's got your name on it. You got power to win. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Right? We're going to make this confession. Confession, and we're going to stay in this people series. So people of purpose leads you to being people of power, and it's the power to win. All right? So repeating after me, Father God, help me to be a living testimony to those around me. Help me overcome the ignorance of this age. And I thank you for meeting all my needs. Basically, all I do is win, win, win. Say it again. All I do is win, win, win. One more time. All I do is win, win, win. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the power you've given us. As we get in our purpose, we will have power. Now, God, we do understand how life is life. And sometimes life has been lifing for us. And because of that, we have taken some losses along the way. But even though we lost a few battles, we will not lose the war, because you have given us the power to win. So God, I begin to speak a winning spirit over every one of your children, as they yield to you, let them think of things that they had already given up hope on, and turn those situations around, and let them know they have the power to win, and allow them to use that win to witness to others, to overcome the ignorance, and to realize that all their needs are supplied. And we do thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, you're more than welcome to have it. God bless you. Have a great week.